Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
We welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. We are presented by PPV.com. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri with the stash. Those of you that are listening, those of you that are only listening, run to your computers, run to your phones, get on YouTube and look at this luxurious porn stash that Chris is rocking, because he is now a porn star in the boxing world. Does that make sense? Porn star in the boxing world?
Does not make sense. Dan had to ask me if this was actually my mustache, if there was any like makeup coloring to make it thicker or like dyed or anything like that. I was like, no, this is au natural.
Are we hope we're not leaking anything? Well, Chris is on a movie set. Is that all we can say?
No, I mean, I'm obviously in the movie. I've been leaving my little crumbles.
Wow, how cool is this guy? Obviously, I'm in the movie.
Obviously, there's a cameo.
All day with Jamie Foxx. Oh, obviously, I'm in the movie. I got a porn stash now. I got mutton chops.
Yeah, side chops. I've done mustache before, and the side chops with the comb over. Never done that. This is a whole new world.
Oh yeah, you did post it on Instagram story.
Yeah. Yeah, people are aware, and they know that I've been working on this thing for a bit, so it's the cat's pretty much out of the bag now. And if you listen to this, it's definitely out of the bag.
Yeah, Fight for 84, big boxing movie that's hitting Netflix soon about the Olympic 84 team starring Jamie Foxx and Chris Algieri.
I am not starring in anything, but whatever. Yeah, no, I got a credit. I'm in it. I got some lines. So
that's amazing. That is so cool. I mean, this couldn't get any cooler. You're now in the movie, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah,
what a day! What a life!
Hopefully, maybe there'll be more of this. Who knows? Who knows?
I think it's just the beginning. I think this podcast is numbered. Our days are numbered.
No way! I'm never letting this go, Dan. This is. I'm a ride or die.
I hope you get so big and become such a big actor that you are like delaying production because you have to film our podcast in your trailer.
Chris is in his trailer. He's got to finish his podcast with Dan.
They're like, who's Dan? Johnny Drama style.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Just total diva in every way possible.
Yes. Like we said, this episode is brought to you by PPV.com. December 6th, we're going to see Pitbull Cruz versus Lamont Roach. And guess what? We're going to talk to Lamont Roach on this episode. I caught up with Lamont to get his thoughts on the fight with Pitbull, to get his thoughts on Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua, which we're going to get to in a second, to get his thoughts on 140, potentially fighting at 135. That's coming up in just a little bit with Lamont Roach. Don't forget to order that fight with us at PPV.com and all the good stuff that comes along with that. That's December 6th. Lamont Roach is an awesome interview. Great guy.
Awesome guy. Forget the interview. He's just a good dude. I told you to tell him what's up. You probably didn't.
He said what's up. He goes, where is he? I said, he's on a movie set. He goes, oh, yeah. He's got those movie star looks.
Ah, see, that's what I get. But he's a good dude. We see him. He trains down in Florida now. He's over at the Pro Box TV training facility. So we get to see him down there training. He's whipping on all the guys over there. But good people, good dude. Good. His dad's awesome. His brother Jordan's great. He's another one to look out for. I think is he a flyweight? I think he's a flyweight coming up, or a bantamweight. But great family, good boxing family, great boxing heritage.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that mega card. Big card December 6th, and he's the headliner. So we're going to get to him in a second. Some big news broke. Shocking news. According to Ring Magazine, Anthony Joshua is going to step in for Gervonta Davis and fight Jake Paul. We don't know yet if it's an exhibition. We don't know yet the rule set. We don't know the date. These are preliminary talks that are ongoing. Yes, I work for MVP. No, they don't tell me anything. I know as much as you guys know. I don't want to know anything like that. I just want to tell me when I'm going to go to the fight, who he's fighting and when he's fighting. But it looks like, you know, Ring Magazine, Coppinger's reporting this, usually on the money. It looks like Anthony Joshua will be boxing Jake Paul inside of a boxing ring, Chris.
I would not have believed this if it was not absolutely everywhere and from very credible sources. But I will say this, Dan. You said, like, I don't know if it's going to be this, how many rounds. What do you mean? It's going to be a fight. What are we talking here? Like, it's going to be an exhibition? No, it's a fight. You're a heavyweight. You're calling out heavyweights. You're calling out a heavyweight. You're calling out Anthony Joshua, former world champion. You're calling him out on short notice. It's a fight. You're going to wear 10-ounce gloves, and you're going to fight 10 rounds, and that's what it is. I don't understand any idea of anything else. Oh, it's going to be 8-2s? Is it going to be 15-ounce gloves? What the hell are we doing? This is boxing. You want to fight a real guy? You're fighting a real guy, which I am very respectful. And I respect the hell out of Jake Paul if he does step in the ring with Anthony Joshua. No matter what happens, kid's got balls of steel, and I applaud you.
Well, the reason I say we don't know yet, because Jake Paul has fought, and his last fight with Javonta Davis was going to be an exhibition. They had to do that because of the weight difference. This is still a weight difference here. I mean,
No, it's not. It's heavyweight. It's the same weight class.
Well, what do you consider Jake Paul, cruiserweight or heavyweight?
Heavyweight. How much did he weigh his last fight?
He's fought a cruiserweight. He's also fought a heavyweight. Against Tyson was a heavyweight.
What was his last fight? He's a cruiser. He's a heavyweight.
What was his last fight? His last fight was a cruiser against Chavez. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like the reason Javonta Davis fight.
He fought Chavez after Tyson? I guess Tyson was that long ago. Wow.
Yeah, it was a year ago. This week. I was looking at my Instagram memories. I was in Dallas, Texas, getting ready for me pooping my pants on Netflix. That was about a year ago. Exhibition. These are questions that are asked. These are questions that are attached to Jake Paul events. I am hoping that it's a real fight. I'm hoping that it's 10, 12 rounds. I'm hoping it's everything, because I hear it all the time. I hear everyone saying, I'm still getting it. This is not a real fight. There's no way this is happening. Tell me when it happens. There's going to be rules. There's going to be agreement. Joshua's taking the bag. Joshua's taking the dive. There's a handshake agreement. There's a wink-wink agreement. It just never ends. And I get it, because I just tweeted this out. Boxing fans are broken. Boxing fans are bruised. They're battered. I'm going to start a boxing therapy session. I'm going to be a therapist for boxing fans. I'm going to have them all lay on the couch and say, what ails you? Well, who hurt you? Bob Arum? Did Bob Arum hurt you? Was it Al Haymon who hurt you? Was it Jake Paul? Who hurt you? Let's get to the bottom. Let's get to the root of this trauma.
Listen, this is a million-dollar idea. You can be the boxing fan therapist. I will be the boxing fighter therapist. A two-pronged practice. I mean, endless amount of clientele. Wow. I'll obviously charge more money for the fighters. You can charge less money for the fans, but you'll have more numbers.
You want to be the therapist for the fighters.
For the fighters.
Like when Tank says, I want to go seek therapy, when he told me that.
I will be the therapist.
So you're an actor, you're a boxer, now you're a therapist.
Just wear a lot of hats.
Play one on TV?
Currently wearing a Yankee hat, but whatever. Yes,
let's
a lot of
go.
Hats.
All right, yeah. So if this happens, we have to operate under the assumption that if this happens, because we're recording this on Wednesday. It hasn't been finalized. Like I said, I haven't hit up anyone at MVP. But Mannix, I saw Mannix report earlier in the week that they're trying really hard. MVP is trying really hard to make this Joshua fight. You know, this is something that Jake brought up last year about fighting Anthony Joshua, and Joshua did not dismiss it. Wisely, smartly, Eddie Hearn was like, yeah, we will entertain this fight. This is a huge fight. There's a lot of money here, and it's a winnable fight. So I get it from Joshua's standpoint, and you know, he's potentially at the end of the rope here. Who knows where he's at? He hasn't fought in over a year. He's a unified former two-time heavyweight champion who is still very much at the top of his game. I know he hasn't fought in a year, but Joshua is, this is beyond a massive step up. Like, this is insanity.
Yeah, insanity is right. And beyond a massive step up. I mean, it was a step up fighting Tank, and he's someone that he outweighs by nearly 100 pounds. Now he's fighting a guy who is a former heavyweight champion of the world and is bigger and taller and everything that we've wanted from Jake, we wanted to see from him. Fight someone your size, fight someone, you know, this. And now he's fighting someone bigger than him. So he's really going for the gusto here, and he's gone swung the door the opposite way completely from fighting a much smaller, not really into the fight sport anymore, into boxing anymore, Tank Davis, to Joshua, who is literally looking to come back, and this could be his entry back into it. Listen, remember Joshua not that long ago fought what's his name? The big MMA guy. Man, I've been on set for too long today.
Ngannou.
Ngannou. And he fought Ngannou, and that was like it's kind of like a sideshow type fight because the guy had one fight and he fought Tyson Fury and did better than way better than expected. And then Joshua goes out there and flattens him in two rounds. So it's not crazy to think that Joshua would take a fight like this, especially with the landscape, the way things are, and there's a ton of money to be made. And I don't think anybody wants to see him fight Usyk again. The Dubois fight, he definitely needs to rebuild some before he gets back in there with him. You know, the Tyson Fury fight doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon. So, yeah, this fight would make a lot of sense for Anthony Joshua. And I believe he's coming off an elbow injury as well, a surgery, which kept him out of the ring for most of last year after the Dubois fight. So as an entry back in, which is a huge bag and a lot of attention, makes a lot of sense for Joshua.
No, it makes all the sense in the world for Joshua. I'm sure you brought up Ngannou. He fumbled. Ngannou, fumble of a lifetime. I don't understand what this guy was thinking. Now I saw an interview where he was practically begging John Jones and Aspinall to get back into the UFC. I know he made a big bag. I know you could say, Dan, how can you say he's a fumbler when he made two giant bags in boxing? So don't we like more? Like, don't we like more money? You're a prize fighter. Why'd you stop at two bags so we can get three? You could fight Jake Paul. You could do something that everyone wants to see. Jake Paul get wiped out of the ring. But, you know, I don't get that. I don't get that from Ngannou. I think he fumbled massively. Tommy Fury, I don't know the negotiations there. If he asked, if he overpriced himself or priced himself out, he also fumbled. But for Joshua, yeah, this makes all the sense in the world. Like, you can't sit around and wait for Fury. The Usyk fight is not materializing, and I don't think any fans want to see that. So, in a way, this could be Joshua's final fight or final meaningful fight. It's going to happen in 5 weeks, 4 weeks, since it happened in the U.S. It's only his second fight ever in the U.S. It's in Miami. I haven't even wrapped my mind around this. Like, it happened. The news literally just came out. I was going to work out. I was on the treadmill. Saw that. And then I couldn't work out. I was too jazzed up. Went back up to the apartment and had to sit and look at my phone and read all the tweets. Because it's like, it's very, very shocking. There's not a lot that could shock you anymore in this sport. Shocked if this happens. If it happens.
Well, listen, that's what Jake Paul does. He's the shock jock of boxing. He finds the most shocking things to announce all the time. Yeah, basically. You know, he gets eyes. He gets people interested. He gets people talking. Look at us. Everyone's talking about this right now. This could literally be like April Fool's tomorrow, and it's just like, wow, it still worked. It still got everyone talking about it. And that's what Jake does. He's just literally just ratcheting up everyone looking at him all the time. And this is just another way to do that. Now, again, if he sees this through and actually gets into the ring with Anthony Joshua, I don't care if he gets completely flattened with the very first punch that Joshua throws or lands. I am giving all the respect to Jake Paul for stepping in the ring with a guy like this, for making this adjustment on the fly in a couple weeks' notice, essentially. That's a super badass move. Everyone's been on his ass about who he's fighting and how he's fighting them and this and that. You step in there with the former heavyweight champion of the world, I mean, on short notice, when you were getting ready to fight a 5-foot, 530-pounder, and then you go out there and fight Anthony Joshua, that deserves a lot of respect.
You would think, right? You would think. And I'll be getting some tweets because I put out a video, obviously. And this guy's
you,
Tom.
Dan, you put out a video immediately? Weird.
You can hear the echo is insane because I'm in the my building's gym. And the guys that are working out next to me were like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Your neighbors hate you.
Holding my phone and I'm like, guys, Jake Paul is fighting Anthony. I'm screaming. It's echoing in the gym. And they're like, what is this guy even doing? And I just get all my stuff and leave, go up to my apartment so I can edit it. This is what I do. But Tom Bob Anderson, the esteemed Tom Bob Anderson of Twitter fame, says, I mean, in a sense, this is impressive. But at the end of the day, he's picking a fight with a built-in excuse. He's going to be brutally knocked out for a gigantic check. And then he will say no one expected him to win. So he suffers no reputational damage as an athlete. So, Chris, what you just said, according to Tom Bob, is nonsense. No credit for Jake Paul, no matter what he does. He could cure cancer, and they would say, yeah, but did he? We were giving him credit here.
No, he does take – there is a reputational effect. The reputational effect is you get respect for stepping in with someone. It doesn't – even he gets flattened. But listen, dude, we're talking brain cells. You get knocked out viciously – it changes your life. So anyone saying he has nothing to lose is a goddamn idiot. I cannot stand when people say that. Oh, he has nothing to lose. He's nothing. Okay. How about his brain cells? How about his health? How about his jaw? How about his rib cage? How about, you know, being embarrassed in front of the entire world, literally? There's a lot to lose. There's there's never nothing to lose in a fight, especially one as dangerous as this.
Couldn't agree more.
I guess we revved up. I guess we so revved up.
I know. You should be happy you're not on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'm smart enough to know better.
Speaking of which, your take last week, great take. You said if Shakur beats Teofimo, he's getting into the Floyd category because he'll just be so damn good that he'll beat all your favorite fighters. I throw it on the Twitter machine. It's got a shit ton of retweets, likes, views. Where is it? It's our best performing video of the week. It's currently at it's currently sitting at 70,000 views. And a lot of people were upset because you invoked Mayweather. Mm. You invoked Mayweather, but I said, guys.
I said in the discussion.
Thank you.
You
did not
type.
Say that he has the skills of Mayweather. You said simply, yeah. It was a great analogy. You said he will just beat every. He has the capabilities of beating all your best, all your favorite fighters, which was Floyd to a T.
Yep.
We're not. You're not. I don't want to speak for you, even though I did on Twitter. You're not saying that Shakur and Floyd are the closest or compared to each other. You're talking about how he could go in there and beat a lot of these guys.
Yes, the comparison was related to the fact that Floyd struggled early on to get recognition in the biggest fights possible until really it was like the Arturo Gatti and the Oscar De La Hoya fight. He had to beat your favorite fighters. Arturo Gatti never stood a goddamn chance against Floyd Mayweather, ever, in any world. But he was super popular, and it exposed Floyd to so many people, and Floyd out there absolutely decimated him. Then De La Hoya, you're like, all right, this is Oscar De La Hoya, it's the golden boy, he beats him. And then he goes on to beat all your favorite fighters. He beats Miguel Cotto. He beats everybody. He just and that's the path that Shakur Stevens is going to have to go down in order to become the star that his skill set deserves. He's got to go the Floyd route and beat all your favorite fighters. Teofimo Lopez is one of those guys who's super dangerous. I look at this almost like the Diego Corrales fight for Floyd, where he's fighting a super dangerous guy. And it's not that Tio is so much more well-known than Shakur. I think he's struggling as well. But they're both so good and in their primes. A win there really launches Shakur into that place where you really can't run and hide anymore. So I stick to the take. The take is still good. I think most people who know what the hell they're talking about would agree with me. So all you Twitter fuckers out there.
Bro, Twitter is... I'm out here. Once again, I'm out here fighting your battles. You're on a movie set having the time of your life. Oblivious to the fact that I'm here taking bullets. I mean, the trenches.
Taking bullets.
I mean, the trenches, bro. Fighting Bob and Jim Bob. I'm a Twitter warrior. I got to step away from Twitter, man. It's starting to take a toll on me.
You need a break. You need a vacation.
There's so many haters. And, you know, I hear, hey, it means, Dan, you're doing something right. It means your voice is heard. I love that. I love that we have this platform. And it's just the nature of boxing. Everyone thinks they know more than the next. Everyone is naturally just off the bat very combative. There are plenty of great people, and there are a lot of people. Hey, Dan, great take. Hey, love the show. I've been enjoying the show. I love that. I want to say that first and foremost. But occasionally, we break through into the mainstream of Twitter and of something you said, and I'm out here battling.
Well, people, yeah. No, I don't have time for this stuff. That energy, that seeps into your soul, dude.
It does. I think I'm going to start just tweeting and then shutting it off.
Set it and forget it, baby.
Set it and forget. Put the podcast out, put the clips out, and just leave it. But I love it though. I love it.
I know. You love the fight.
I love it. I was always my New Year's resolution for like 3-4 years in a row was I'm no longer gonna engage with faceless, nameless Twitter trolls.
And do you break that by like what, January 11th?
12th? January 1st.
Happy New Year. Fuck you, Dan.
Usually that's how it goes. January 1st, January 2nd. We have a fight this year on January 3rd. But when it's around, I'll be fighting with someone on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fight with someone.
When is that, January 3rd?
January 3rd. Just nice. Booked my flight. I'm going to be spending New Year's Eve in San Juan. Speaking of vacation, going down a few days early. Setting up shop. Big Mo. Do you know Big Mo?
I love Big Mo. I do. Yeah. I do.
Me and Big Mo are going to set up real estate on the beach and just see what the tide brings in.
Speaking of real estate, look how much housing costs down there. Maybe we'll buy a little IBL studio.
I mean, that's what Jake did. He lives down there
on the beach. Yeah, no, I think he's lived down there for a while now.
He has. He's been in Puerto Rico for quite some time now, and setting up shop.
Tax haven. Very smart.
There were tax benefits of living there. So yeah, I asked Lamont Roach how much percentage he gives Jake in a fight. You're gonna have to cliffhanger. You're gonna have to wait in just a little few minutes to hear that. What do you like? How is this fight playing out in your mind when you think of Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua in a ring together? Is there any conceivable way this fight's competitive?
No.
Hard no.
Without even thinking about it. No. Like in what way? Jake couldn't knock out a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. 60-year-old Mike Tyson, and he was bigger than Mike. So he's got a guy who's bigger than him, younger than Mike, bigger than Mike, younger than Mike, bigger than Jake. I mean, unless he just gets on his bike, which I don't think he has the legs to do anyway, it's going to be in Ngannou again. Ngannou, I will give him credit. He stood there and fought. He tried to fight Joshua. I mean, if Jake does that, it's the same thing. But like, was Ngannou going to move? No, Ngannou didn't have the legs to move either. Jake has better legs than Ngannou, maybe, but he's better legs than Ngannou. But I've never seen him be able to move for more than a couple rounds, like consistently. No one's ever put real pressure on him to force him to move for an extended period of time. Anthony Joshua has a premier jab, and that right hand is an absolute cannon. He still might be one of the best punchers in the heavyweight division. He's definitely in the top five.
Bro, he was moments away from beating Dubois.
Yeah, he almost knocked him out right before he got iced. Yeah,
and he's then the champ. Right. I mean, this fight probably doesn't happen then. Is what I always say about boxing is one night changes everything. And the ramifications from all these fights, it's insane. But Joshua is, I know he's a year out, surgery, but there's something that Jake sees. This is not something I see. This is something that Jake sees. He sees you're slow now. His chin can get touched. I guess puncher's chance for Jake. Like, are people tuning in
Netflix? Tells you that Jake is a puncher at heavyweight? That's my question. When you look at it, I was like, well, I mean, I know Joshua's chinny. Jake's got a puncher's chance. But then I'm thinking, Chavez Jr. didn't check his chin at all. Not a single punch bothered him.
And once Jake put his punches together towards the end of that fight with Chavez, he was more successful. But you're right, he's not. He was the one punch guy at the lower weights when he was fighting
smaller guys,
Woodleys and of the world, and the smaller guys,
the Ben Askrens of
the world.
But
he can still touch that chin of Joshua's. It is a fight.
I mean, are we expecting Joshua just literally to just turn into glass when he gets touched on his chin? I mean, the guy is a professional fighter and world class.
That would be quite the moment. Either way, any result that comes from this fight is going to be batshit crazy. And this is why Jake Paul is unbelievable at what he does.
Is this more batshit crazy than Gervonta?
Oh yeah. Yeah, because that was the exhibition rules. We didn't really know the rules, bigger gloves, like smaller guy. That was more of like a circus. I wanted to see that from wow, we've never seen something like this. This looks like a
Looney Tunes. I didn't want to see it at all, honestly.
If they were going to do it, we were all going to watch, but there was part of me that's what is this? What is this? The dynamics of this? What does this look like? Like physics. Now people are tuning in to watch. I assume outside of Jake Paul's hardcore fans, people are tuning in to watch Jake get his block knocked off. And Jake knows that there is a large contingent. That's how he makes his money.
I don't want to see that either, though. I don't want to see someone get completely decimated, you know. And I have no ill will towards Jake Paul. I don't want to see that if that is the case of what's going to happen.
Okay, so does he survive like 10 rounds? It's 10 rounds. Does he survive? No. Does he see the final bell?
No, I don't see.
And Joshua is not an accumulator. Joshua is a one punch knockout guy.
Yeah, but he's also got a piston damaging jab. I don't see how this possibly works out in a good way for Jake Paul.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it happens. I mean, like we said, it's Wednesday. We're doing the podcast when we can. We have different schedules, and we're trying to who knows? This fight can crumble. This fight could materialize. I think it's going to materialize. Once again, I don't know anything. But, you know, guys like Mannix, Coppinger, they're pretty good at their jobs. And, you know, these things usually get leaked out, and we could very, very well see Anthony Joshua versus. I'm shocked. I put out a video like last week, 2 weeks ago, when the Gervonta Davis fight was out of the picture, and I put a percentages on who on each opponent. I didn't even have Joshua on the list. I didn't even like. Like I thought, Ngannou yeah. 50. I had Ngannou at 50%. I had Tommy Fury at like 25. I had maybe Berlanga at like 30-35 as on a fast, quick turnaround.
I thought we were gonna get Gabe Rosado, which would have been I would have been honestly respectable. That would have been a tough fight for Jake.
Yeah, but I'm telling you how Netflix wants this. Yeah. Netflix probably. I don't know anything. Once again, they were very incentivized to make a huge event. I would not be shocked if Netflix threw in some dollars. One thing to note is that Anthony Joshua is exclusive to DAZN. He is like a DAZN lifer. He is a DAZN day one guy.
So that's what I heard. That's why the fight wasn't happening.
Absolutely.
So how do we get more information?
I'm curious to know what DAZN took and monetarily, or is DAZN part of this event? Did Netflix just blow them out of the water and say, hey, we really want Joshua? Very, very interested in those little things. I know there's some fans out there that like that. I know some fans out there that hate that. I know there's some fans out there that don't give a damn about Jake Paul, but it's a big story, and now it involves Anthony Joshua, and you will all be watching because it's on Netflix, and you very, very much, very well might see my face on your televisions.
Hey! Big Dan making moves. You know what, Dan? You're saying about all the cool things I'm doing. You do a lot of cool things too, man.
Thank you, bro.
You get your ringside for these big ass fights. Like this is cool, man.
I think they got me as the unofficial scorer.
Okay. Oh, you're gonna get flamed. Talk about Twitter battles. You're gonna get absolutely flamed. Cool.
Yeah, like I scored Barao versus Tejas, and I had Barao winning by a round or two. Opened up my phone mid fight. It was like, fuck you, Dan, you suck.
There was smoke, phone. Literally. Yeah. Your phone actually became physically heavy because of all the tweets.
And I don't care. I'm fine with that. I've been around. Yeah. Like, those Twitter interactions, those Twitter wars I've been in have molded me for this moment to be an unofficial scorer.
You know why the Twitter wars suck? Because, like, I don't know how you are, but, like, I would get into a fight, and then I would go, like, live my life. And then I'd go back, and it'd be like, and be like, they think they won because they have no time. They have all the time in the world. They have no lives.
I do things. You got
to
get in and out. The way to do it is answer a few. Don't go all day with a troll. Because
that's what I mean. The guy will just keep going back and forth.
I know.
And it's like, and then you don't answer, and they keep going and going and going. And then they think
they
win.
They think they won.
Yeah. And it's just like, you didn't win. I just literally, you know, went on a date while you are jerking off on your Twitter.
Pretty much. I'm seeing real life women. Not a lot of these trolls do. All right. So we'll see what happens with this fight. One way or another, we should know because it's coming up. If they do it on the December 12th, that's a month away. Doing it on December 19th, that's 5 weeks away. So it's going to be crazy. Switching things up, let's hear from Lamont Roach. He headlines December 6th on PBV.com against Pitbull Cruz.
All right, right now we are joined by current WBA 130-pound champ. He's fighting Isak Pitbull Cruz December 6th live on PPV.com. His third weight class in as many fights. You know who he is. He's Lamont Roach. What's going on, Lamont? Welcome to Inside Boxing Live.
Man, thank you, man. I'm chilling, man. What's up with you guys?
We're having a good time. Chris is busy right now, so he said, Dan, please talk to the champ. Because Chris is on the movie set. Thinks he's a big movie star now, Algeri.
Yeah, man, he probably is.
I mean, he got the movie star looks.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He got the looks. All he needs is a set. So he'll be cool.
He'll blend right in. Yeah, so you're back in the ring December 6th. I can't wait to watch you get back in there. I think boxing fans are excited to see you get right back in there after that performance against Gervonta Davis. But there is some breaking news in the boxing world. I have to get your thoughts on it. According to Ring Magazine, it looks like – is this correct? It looks like Anthony Joshua is going to step in to fight Jake Paul. He's going to replace Gervonta Davis. What's your thoughts when you saw that?
When I saw that, I thought Jake was crazy. That's all. That was my first thought, that he's going to take on former unified world champion at the heavyweight. I think that's a little crazy, but, you know, I get it. Business-wise, I get it. I understand for sure.
Of course, this is prize fighting. I have people chirping me like, I can't believe he would do this. Can't believe it. It's prize fighting. You guys should be fighting for the highest purses possible, correct?
Right.
And with that being said, how much of a chance do you give Jake Paul against Anthony Joshua?
Zero. I'm probably a negative chance. I'm not gonna lie. But again, if you're gonna go big, because I just talked about this. So if you're gonna go big, why not go the biggest? You know, you got Anthony Joshua, heavyweight champion, Olympic gold medalist, sold out the O2 arena twice. You know, he's a superstar. So, you know, if someone's gonna knock your block off, why not Anthony Joshua?
So not much of a shot you're giving Jake Paul here in December if this comes to fruition.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, it's very disrespectful to give him like anything other than a puncher's chance.
Yeah, I mean, look what he did to Ngannou. Ngannou went in there with a lot more experience than Jake has, and he got rid of Ngannou in two rounds. If anything, we can give Jake props. If anything, we could say, well, you can't say he's not fighting guys his size, right? You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. I give him that. That's why I say he got balls, man. He got balls.
Absolutely. Just want to get your thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to your fight. So, first off, why 140 and why Pitbull Cruz?
Why 140? Because I want to prove that I'm one of the best fighters in the world. And, you know, pound for pound means, you know, regarding, you know, without regarding weight class. So I think that this is a perfect shot for me to do so. And why Pitbull Cruz? Because honestly, Pitbull Cruz was actually, sorry, it's dark. I'm about to turn the light on.
Sorry.
I'm getting home from the gym.
Lamont went dark. You went from car to house so fast.
Yeah.
That was actually really impressive.
So Pitbull Cruz is a high profile fighter, very, very exciting style. Former world champion and current interim WBC 140-pound champion. So why not? That's accolades. That's pedigree. It's a damn sure dangerous fight. So why not?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's a great fight. I was super excited when I saw this come to fruition. And I think stylistically, it's such just like a really good fight too, because as we know, Pitbull is a pressure fighter. As we've seen with you, you fight very well on the back foot. You fight very well on the front foot. You fight very well in the pocket. But I think stylistically, we can have a really good fight on December 6th with the pressure. And I think fans are going to understand how you handle a pressure fighter. Someone like that, I know some fighters enjoy pressure fighters. Some fighters look at it as a tough night in the office. Where do you stand on the pressure that Pitbull should bring on fight night?
I think that it's going to play well into my bag of tricks for sure. It's definitely going to play well into my bag of tricks. And he's a one-trick pony. He's very good at what he does, though. Very good. He's very good at what he does, but he is a one-trick pony. And I think I have about 5 to 6 different styles that I can present in the ring.
I like what you said there, that he is good. He is a one-trick pony, but he is good, because too often I'm seeing in the fight game these days in promotion is fighters putting down their opponents. Like, I see Devin Haney calling Brian Norman a bum nonstop.
Yeah,
I'm like,
crazy.
So
like
if you win, you beat a bum. And if you lose, you lost to a bum. So what does that make you?
Exactly. You're just putting yourself in a hole, man. You're putting yourself in a difficult position. You can't win for losing.
Yeah. Pitbull's very dangerous. And he's a really good fighter. And, you know, he does have up and down nights. Like, some nights we've seen him look like a world beater, nearly beat Tank Davis. And there's other nights where he doesn't look as good. But one thing for sure is he's going to bring the fight. And I think fans in attendance in San Antonio, fans watching all over the world on PPV.com are going to be in for a treat. So 130 pounds, are those days over? What are we doing with that belt?
It's going to take a lot to bring me to bring me back to 130. Not going to lie. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take you got to think, put Pitbull in the position of the champions where I am at 130. It's just like, I'm headlining pay-per-view with Isak Pitbull Cruz, and after I win, why go back to 130 where you have fights like Gary Antoine Russell fights like Sabriel Matias, or the winner of Sabriel and Dalton Smith. You have your Shakur Stevensons, you have your winner of Sam Noakes and Abdullah Mason. You have those
Hot, hot
guys that
division.
the big, it's like, I could see it, but it's just like, if I'll go down if there's undisputed on the line, I'll do
Well, I think
that
you're in a great spot.
for sure.
I mean, you just kind of answered one of my questions that was going to come next, like 140, like, 'cause 135 to 140, I mean, it's only 5 pounds. I mean, I'm not a mathematician here. 10 pounds is harder to make. 135, there's outstanding fights at 135. And then at 140, I think is probably top three division in boxing right now. I have 154, and maybe 140 number two in terms of talent. And now that Shakur is going up there to fight Teofimo supposedly at the end of January, that's something you can keep an eye on. Well, a lot of fans out there, when I told them I was interviewing you, one of the questions they wanted asked was, are you still interested in a Shakur fight?
For sure. Shakur is one of the best fighters in boxing, and my thing is to prove that I'm one of the best fighters in boxing. And we already talked about it. We do want to fight each other. We do want to put on a show for the fans. It's just a matter of what's out there for us, and like, because Tio is a bigger fight than me, like, being realistic. So, even though we talked about fighting, and we could have fought, I think the same time that him and Tio are fighting, but he had that on the table. So I'm very understanding. It's more money, it's more publicity, whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just a bigger fight.
Yeah, I get.
So,
See, bro, you're realistic. That's a beautiful thing. Like, and but you know that you can get that winner. Like, Shakur
Oh
beats
yeah, for sure.
Teofimo. Shakur. It depends on if Shakur stays at 140. But here's the thing: say if Shakur beats Teofimo, then he goes on going back down to 135. You could go back down to 135 potentially.
Yep, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about. I should be your manager. What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't think you need a
Yeah.
manager. I think you can manage yourself. I think you have a pretty good grasp on the sport right now, and you're making really good moves here. March, this past March, a fight that changed your life. I was there on the call. I was happy to be part of the lead up. I was happy to be in your locker room beforehand. And I remember telling people, and I remember doing the podcast afterwards. I was like, the amount of confidence that was in that room before the Tank fight compared to what was going on in Tank's locker room. I mean, now we've seen what's going on with Tank in the months after that fight and everything that's gone on. What a night that was. And let's be honest, you're a realistic guy. You just said, like, you're going to be connected to Tank Davis probably for your entire career. And it's not a bad thing because many people thought you won that fight. Are you keeping
Yeah.
tabs on Tank? Obviously, he's going through a lot of issues right now. He's out of the Jake Paul fight. Who knows if he'll ever fight again? You're going to be connected to him. You're going to be asked about him nonstop throughout your career. Are you, what are
Yeah.
your words for Tank, and what have you been able to think where his career is headed right now?
I don't have too many words for him. It's life. Hopefully he finds the best way to navigate through it. But it's life. It happens. Life happens to everyone. So you have your own choices. You pick your own battles. It is what it is. I know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be connected to him hearsay like a lot, because that was one, a good fight that, like you said, a lot of people think I won, including me. So I'm probably going to get asked about it a lot. So, but I really just, a lot of people are worried about it, but I've moved on. I got things to do, and I'm not stuck on one fight or fighter, because my legacy will never be based on one fight. Never.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Love that. But you, yeah, like I said, you will be linked to him. And now with him being out of this picture with Jake Paul, and I don't know where he'll go from here. He told me that he wanted to, but didn't want to box anymore. He told me he wanted to go seek therapy, and that interview went crazy. And I just
Yeah.
don't know where his mind actually is. But part of me thinking like, oh wow, like he's not going to fight Jake anymore, and I don't think they'll revisit that. So I wonder if he'll go back to the traditional boxing route. And if he was to go back to the traditional boxing round, the first call should be to you. Would you agree?
You said if he would go back to the traditional boxing route, who would he fight?
No, I would.
Oh
Yeah, I
yeah,
would say. I mean, I would want to see that. I think a lot of boxing fans would say if Tank was to go back to traditional fighting and throw the Jake Paul stuff out the window, I the first call should be to you.
be where it should be. I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens. I think people need to ex So my thing is, like, when people show you and tell you who they are, I think you should believe them. At face value, he's literally telling you that there's no way he's going back. Like, at least to the, to the fight with me. I believe him. If he says he's retiring, I believe him. Like, the trickle effect looks like it. So, I just, I don't know. I think he's telling you guys in plain sight that, this is going to go on. And, me personally, I believe him. I don't know about everyone else, but I believe him.
I mean, safe to say that. I mean, he's told numerous people, he's told me. I mean, this his actions have illustrated that. Who knows? I hope the best for him. And as a boxing fan, I wanted to see him back boxing and some of the biggest names, and that would be you, it would be Shakur,
Yeah.
Teofimo, any of those guys. Like, I want to see him mix it up with the best. And who knows? Maybe that could happen. But headlining a pay-per-view, that's a pretty cool thing. This would now be the second time. It's a great card. I mean, this is. I know
Yeah.
you're a fan of the sport. I mean, how excited are you to be a part of this? Triple header, championship triple header.
I'm super excited, man. I'm not gonna lie. One of my friends is fighting on the pay-per-view undercard, so
Who's
I'm glad
that?
we get it, Steven Schoolboy Fulton.
Oh,
So
of course. That's gonna be a
yes.
banger.
Yeah, that's
That's
gonna
like
be a
the
banger.
people's main
So
event. No disrespect to your
exactly.
main event. You guys are the main
Yeah,
event. People's main event is Oshaki versus Fulton. That's gonna be, I mean,
wanna
that's
see that.
awesome.
I wanna see that. So, that's a I'm so glad that they actually got the opportunity to do so, because mind you, originally they were on the Tank Roach 2. So
Yeah.
I'm glad that they finally got the opportunity again, because their fight fell out and it got moved to this one. I think the second or third time they were supposed to fight. So
I
it's
can't even
just
keep
like,
up anymore. I'm just happy it's happening.
yeah, I'm happy it's happening, man. And this card is actually staggering. It's nothing better than having a good supporting cast coming up to the main event. I think so. I think some of those fights have the potential to steal, the show or part of it. But I'm gonna make sure that I solidify the
That's
main
right.
event and steal the show for sure.
That's right, man. That's right. You have last say. You have last licks, like in baseball. You're up bottom of the ninth. You and Pitbull.
Yep, I'm gonna bring them home.
I love it. Word association here. 140 pounds. I'm gonna give you some names. You give me one word. Teofimo Lopez.
Character.
Yes, that's correct. Shakur Stevenson.
Damn.
Do, 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 do.
Technical.
Matthias.
Food.
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 Many think that. I'm not here to throw labels out there, but many, you talk about Pitbull being a one-trick pony. There's a pretty decent amount of people that think Matthias is as well, and he's
Tell me
definitely a
about it.
come-forward guy. Is that what you're calling
Yeah.
him, food?
Yep.
Okay. Gary. Antoine Russell Jr. Is he junior? I don't know if he's a junior. Gary
Nah, he's
Antoine
not a
Russell.
junior.
Yeah.
Gary Antoine Russell. Scared.
Scared of roach? Scared of smoke?
Nah, he's probably not scared of smoke, but he's scared of me.
Okay. Alberto Puelo. This is a good division.
This is a very good division. Tall, lanky.
Is. And then he just came off of the loss to Matias. And Matias is now fighting Dalton Smith. That's in January. I think it's gonna be an awesome year next year. I think that this fight being at the end of the year and then going right into next year, you're gonna have some huge fights for you. Should
Yep.
you be victorious? And where do you think boxing's heading right now? Because I'm taking a lot of heat because I said that this year wasn't the greatest year, but I think next year will be even bigger. Where do you see boxing heading right now?
I've been saying this for a while. Even though some of the popularity is killing boxing a little bit, I think boxing is heading in the right direction, because we are getting the fights that we want sporadically. Like,
Sporadically.
we're getting them
Sporadically, though.
sporadically. But I think it'll change. Like, I think people will get into the I think they'll see it, and then they'll be like, "All right, these guys are fighting each other. These guys, oh man, whatever. I'm gonna do the right thing for boxing and fight this guy."
Yeah, I think it was a good year. I think we could have done better. Like, there was only one big event, and that was Canelo Crawford. And I put you and Tank's fight top three events of the year, definitely like one of the moments of the year. I just want more. I want more out of the sport, and I don't have to tell that to you. I think you want all the big fights. And I'll end it with this: if you beat Pitbull, one fight you want next at 140, is it the winner of Tank? Is it the winner of Teofimo and Shakur? Is it any of the other champs?
One fight that I want that makes the most sense and that's most realistic is the winner of Dalton Smith and Sabril because I'll be the WBC intern. But 1B, I'll go winner of Shakur and TL for sure.
For sure. You're going with your mandatory, and you're also going with probably the most money. This is why you're a realistic guy. December 6th, PPV.com, Lamont Roach versus Pitbull Cruz headlines a championship triple header. Cannot wait for it. Really appreciate the time, Lamont. Best of luck with everything. I'll see you down in San Antonio.
For sure, Dan. Thank you, bro.
Right. Special thanks to Lamont Roach. Can't wait for that card. And had some things to say about Jake and Joshua. 0% chance, he said, Lamont. Zero, but Jake has balls.
Yeah, all right. So him, we're in exactly the same boat. But how do you not like that guy, man? I'm
Best.
glad he's got a big fight coming up, and I'm glad his career has really taken off recently. So
Yeah,
good
and
for
he
him.
can go
He's good for the sport.
130 to 140, 135 to 140, he said. So I think he's in a great position when it comes to finding the best potential fight. And I think Shakur and Teofimo are going to be a big role in that and who we can go after next, or we can go the WBC route, which is Matias and the winner of Dalton Smith. So great. He's in a great spot right now. Let's head over to our big fight previews. Chris Eubank Jr., Conor Benn 2 is going down this weekend. Over in the UK, I don't see how it could be as big as the first one. The first one was legitimately a movie, one of my favorite fights of the year, one of my favorite fights of the last 5 to 10 years because of the cinema that it brought. It was a little sloppy at times. It was two guys not in the same weight class. There was no title on the line. But even the hardened Chris Algieri, who is just the technical, by the rules type of old school fight fan and boxer, loved that fight. Will we
Yeah.
get the similar fireworks in this rematch?
I mean, God willing, but I don't see how that happens. I think the first fight, like you said, it was the WWE. It was a movie, with Chris Eubank Sr. showing up saying he wasn't going to be there leading up to it. It was like, oh my God, he's here.
That was so
Literally like
sick.
like a WWE script. And then the fight lived up to it. I mean, the walkouts were cool. Chris Eubank walked out, took his time, had his like fur coat on, went out there, boxed brilliantly early, gets rattled a little bit, but Ben just fighting off of pure intensity and anger and rage. And then down the stretch, Eubank just completely falling apart with no energy in the system, decides to just stand and trade and muscle Ben all around the ring and use his size advantage. All in all, it was a good fight. Like you said, it got a little sloppy at the end, but it was high drama. We'll say that. It's going to be difficult, and we already are behind the eight ball in terms of leading into a similar type fight because the buzz around this fight is just not there. It's not the same like it was the first time around. I doubt that they're going to live up to the same fight during the fight. So you don't have the buzz before. I don't know what kind of stops they're going to pull out right before or during like they did last time. And then in terms of the fight itself, they know each other now. I think the cat's out of the bag for Eubank. It's like, all right, I got to respect this guy a little more than I did before. He's a little faster than I thought. He hits a little harder than I thought. He's a little tougher than I thought. He's got BOMAC in his corner now. And I think he understands that the weight is an issue. He's probably been working on it for a lot longer. And the fact that this fight got pushed back a little bit, I think helps the aging Eubank, which you would think, oh, he's just going to get older. Yeah, but he had time to recover from the first fight, which based on the weight and some of the damage in the fight, he took some, he needed some more recovery and gives him more time to make the weight. So all in all, I think it's probably going to end the same way, but I don't know if the drama is going to be there. Probably not.
No, it's impossible. Like the first fight was so special that you can't replicate that. The dad, he's not coming out of that. He's coming out of the SUV where we're going to say, oh, all right, some more
there he is.
Eubank, hey. Some more Eubank ridiculousness. And there's a lot of factors that go into this. I'm shocked that Eubank didn't have something in the contract that if he won the first fight, he gets to dictate the weight. And he's boiling down once again. He got so dehydrated in the first fight, they ended up in the hospital. Like the first, it's not going to replicate the drama. And inside of the ring, it just seems like a money grab, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. This is a money sport, and these guys have to make as much money as they possibly can. You would be idiotic not to run this back again, considering how much the first fight made. Even if they make 40%, 30% of the revenue they made from the first fight, they're successful and everyone gets paid, and that's great. In terms of in the ring, I just see Eubank too. But another thing, he's just a little bit older now. And like you said, Chris, it's a double-edged sword. It gives him more time to recover, gives him more time to make the weight, but he is older, and that weight is ridiculous. I think we're seeing the ugly side of the sport that a lot of fans don't see is these weight cuts. And the afterwards, like the hospital stuff was jarring. His face was jarring. Like he threw 912 punches in the first fight. They combined for over 1,500 punches thrown. And Eubank just left it all out. You know, and Ben is the smaller guy, but he's the fresher guy. He's the younger guy. It's a very interesting fight in terms of like in the ring. And I think the fact that there's no belts on the line, this is an old fashioned grudge match. It's a contrived beef. But I will say there is a lot on the line in this fight. Chris Eubank could have some massive fights lined up. He could lure huge Canelo Alvarez to Wembley Stadium. He could fight Shiraz. He could fight anyone at 160. He'd go to 175, perhaps, and fight someone there. Conor Benn is going to be fighting some of these welterweight champs. He could fight the winner of Haney and Norman. He could fight Ryan Garcia. He could fight Pacquiao. There's a lot of fights out there for either guy. If they take a lot of damage in this fight, if they lose in a spectacular fashion, it doesn't affect them in with their titles or anything. It does affect it, but it does affect them with their reputation. It does affect them with their marketability, and it affects them with their physical aspects of it. So as much as there isn't anything on the line, as much as there's not a title or anything, these guys are looking at huge fights down the road.
And regardless, I think even with this fight alone and the on the tail of that last fight, this is life-changing money for both these guys. I think they're both
got to do it.
They're getting the highest paydays that they've ever gotten. They're getting the highest paydays that they could get, they could generate. So yeah, it's a money grab to the group. You can't let it go, which is why I think the buildup has been kind of muted. It seems a little more contrived this time around. But regardless, they're going to make a ton of money. And like you said, there's a lot for both guys. I think Eubank has more to lose because he won the first fight. If he loses this one, then you know they're holding a good record over the Bens right now. The Eubanks are. So what are they? They're 2-0-1. Yeah, they're 2-0-1 right now.
2-0-1.
So you know he takes a loss to a Ben, which is you know family legacy thing. So that's a lot to lose right there. But also what you just said, he's in line for a lot of like Canelo is a possible Chris Eubank opponent in the future. If he loses to Ben, that doesn't happen. I think those big fights won't happen if he loses to a guy who's two weight classes below him. And Ben, if he loses, he just goes, well, I jumped up two weight classes. I dared to be great. And then he can go back down to 54, 47. Even if he gets stopped. I don't think it takes a lot of luster off of him, bro. Certainly takes a luster off, and he's gotta go about it the hard way and can't just nepotism his way into a title shot now. He's gotta actually beat guys at the weight class, which could be his undoing there. But yeah, I think, listen, there is no such thing as not getting hurt by a loss, but I think Eubank has a lot more to lose than Ben does.
If it's a carbon copy of the first fight, or close to the first fight where, you know, Ben lands some big shots, Eubank finds that jab, out jabs him, out throws him, out lands him. We have some phone booth moments. Both guys maybe hug now because it's over. They raise each other's arms. And then, yes, I think both guys are fine. Obviously, if Eubank wins, he moves on to bigger fights. If Ben gets stopped and gets beat up, that's a huge blow for him. That's a huge blow for his ego. It's a huge blow for his marketability. Because after this first fight, you know, he had the game plan down pat. If I lose this fight, I'm going to say, I fought a guy that was way bigger than me.
and way more experience. And look at that. I put him in the hospital, like you said, mm-hmm. which I hate that rhetoric and rhetoric, I should say, and all that. So, yeah, there's a lot on the line here. But I kind of want to see Ben, like, fight some of these U.S. fighters. I think he's the perfect foil. I think he's the perfect U.K. antagonist and heel. Who knows? You got to see how this fight happens. So we got to see what happens because Ben is a plus 135 underdog. Eubank is only minus 170. So it's still a close fight according to the books right now.
Is that about what it was the first time? I think it was, right? It's kind of similar.
I don't know what the first one was, but Eubank was definitely the favorite the first one because of the size.
Right.
But and one thing, still a favorite. He's still the favorite, but that weight cut is that's in some brutal insanity.
It's crazy. He's a big guy. Like for him to still make this weight, and he's a super lean guy too. He maintains that leanness. But I've seen him struggle in other fights. You know, being at 160. And listen, this guy fought for world titles at 68 years ago. You know, so it gets harder as you get older to make weight in general without moving.
How about like instead of like, all right, the fight, you're not gonna get the fight at 168 because Ben is just too small. But how about, okay, you don't have to. The rehydration, throw that out the window, which you hate anyway, and we all hate. Like,
yeah, super
dangerous. Nothing in the contract, like nothing to say that you can come in.
I was surprised with that too, and I think that was just like that was a lawyer issue, not thinking ahead. You know, lawyer promoter thing.
Gun to Eubank's head. He accepted it.
He's not complaining at all either. He's just like, yeah, it's what it is. They're gonna make the.
What he will do is he'll throw it in their face any chance they get. You know, can you believe they put this hydration clothes on me? Can you believe what they're doing? Can you believe this, that, and the other? You know, there's one thing about Eubank. He's going to speak his mind.
Yeah. He's one of the best speakers in the game. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a lot of the same storylines, but with a lot less drama. And in terms of what happens in the fight, you know, I guess we'll see on Saturday because we'll be watching.
It's going to get ugly. I think they're just going to beat the crap out of each other.
I mean, I don't know if Ben can fight a disciplined fight. He's got so much. He just fights with rage. And I think Eubank can. And I think if he does, he can actually make this a pretty easy fight as long as his conditioning holds up. Because the last fight, he was making it a kind of an easy fight and then just like completely like hit a wall and then had to just grit it out, fight his ass off for the rest of the fight, which he did quite well. So yeah, it's really going to come down to how much that weight cut boiling down is going to affect Eubank, but also how disciplined or undisciplined Ben fights.
Yeah, Eubank closed the show in the first fight, landing a 152 of 335 punches over the last three rounds.
That's crazy.
That's output. That's like full output for some fighters.
Yeah. I mean, they were clubbing the hell out of each other.
Yeah, I know. Maybe the first round will just start with that. Eubank landed 11 jabs. He landed a career high or jabs per round. Excuse me. Eubank landed a career high 140 jabs in the fight.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
11 jabs a round is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like triple G numbers. But he averaged that in his whole career. Triple G. Eubank averaged it in one night. More of the odds. Eubank by stoppage plus 190. Eubank by decision plus 220. Plus money. For Eubank, just to decide how you think he'll win.
Huh. Interesting.
Money line, he is minus 170. But if you are thinking that he could stop Ben, maybe a late stoppage, a wave it off, plus 220. Plus 190. If you think Eubank goes to decision, just like last fight, plus 220.
Wow.
And for Ben, it's plus 280, plus 450 to go to distance. For Ben,
plus 450 to win decision?
For Conor Ben.
To win a decision.
Yep.
Wow.
This is according to DraftKings. Round 7 through 12 stoppage, which I always like to look at for Eubank, plus 340. So Vegas is on the side of Chris Eubank. They don't think he's too old. They don't think the weight cut is going to affect him. They think Ben is too small.
Well, they might be right. We'll see.
We'll be watching, of course. I don't think I'll jump off my couch like I did last time when I saw Senior. It got me hook, line, and sinker that night. And I remember that was my favorite fight night of the year.
It was the afternoon, remember?
Yeah, I jumped out, ran out of my apartment. I was so jacked up after that fight, and I just needed fresh air, and I had to walk around. I was still living.
I was
in
by
the
my pool, enjoying myself, hanging out with my dogs. Now I'm in damn dirty jerseys.
Not for much longer.
Wrap it up.
I believe
soon.
Nice. Wrap up the movie?
Wrapping it up.
I believe it's an afternoon fight. Yeah, it should be here in the States. And I don't know if it's pay-per-view or not. I can't tell what's pay-per-view or not anymore these days. But we'll be watching, and there's a lot of stakes here. There are some stakes in this fight besides the beef. And hopefully we got a clear winner. As for the entire card, who do we have on this full card? I know that Jack Catterall.
Adam Azim is on that card, right? He's fighting a local boy. Yeah, Scooby. He's fighting a local boy.
I love Scooby. I hung out with him at a Conor McGregor beer party. Remember when Conor McGregor's beer was like a thing?
I heard the beer's actually pretty good. His whiskey is shite. The whiskey is shite.
Bad. The very beer, bad. Irish Stout. This is when we were still working with John Boy. They invited me to a Conor McGregor's launch party for his beer, and Scooby was there. And this dude is—I called a bunch of his fights too. He is an interesting cat.
Yes, yeah, he's fun. I was at his last fight, an Insider Boxing show or Boxing Insider show.
Well, he had a bad loss. He lost to Dakota.
Yeah, not Dakota Linger. Fanning. Dakota Fanning. That'd be a really bad loss,
star, bro.
Yeah. I got Hollywood on the brain. Yeah, that's a bad loss. To Linger.
Holy shit, he's been active though.
Yeah, they've kept him really active, not in the rear view. Smart move. But God, fighting Adam Azim over there, that's a tough fight.
Yeah. I mean, he's signed with like Overtime and he fights with Overtime. So he lost to Linger. I mean, he looks like he's out of a movie. Like he looks like he should be on the set with you guys. He's like chiseled. Remember like
I wanted to use him in the movie, but he was too short for the guys that we needed him for.
He looks like a movie. I remember doing the interview with him.
He looks like an action figure. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He looks like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures.
Well, he used to be a football player, and he was like 200 pounds, and now he's like boiled down to one. Yeah, well, he was fighting even lower. He was like trying to get down to 130 at one point. Ridiculous.
He fought at 135 this year. He fought at 144 against Linger, lost that one. Adam Azim is one of the hottest prospects in the UK.
And he's huge. That's a weird mix. 5'10". Yeah, big boy. Big. I don't know how he makes 140. And now you got Scooby going up.
Yeah, that's one of the fights. I'm interested in that fight. Jack Catterall versus Iko Asuman, who beat Josh Taylor.
Yes. Nobody over here cares about that fight, but it can be an important fight for that weight class.
Don't put us to sleep, Jack.
Yeah. Well,
good chance he will. Richard Rio. That guy was like dating Madonna. Riakapur.
He was dating Madonna? she dates a lot of boxers, huh?
Yeah. Maybe you next.
She was dating another guy over here. No, I'm good. I'm good.
She's looking haggard, bro.
Yeah. Haggard's not the word. She's looking like a saw like a horror movie. Face. Yeah, like she's from like in a horror movie. Like that's
Richard Riakapur.
He's the former cruiserweight turned heavyweight, right?
Yeah,
he's good. He can fight.
Let me see. I'm pretty sure he was dating Madonna. Like, you don't just make that up. You don't just that's a.
Well, Dan, you do make up some stuff sometimes. So
there's no way. Yeah. I mean, there's no freaking.
I don't
way
make I can, that up. You no might you make
can,
that up.
There's no especially way just, you can.
I love that you just also throw things out on like
mistake that
like to a podcast that a lot of people listen to. Just throw it out there.
Well, it's not the worst rumor, you know, for Richard.
Yeah, but if it's not true, it's like a ridiculous reach.
No, it is true. I'm pulling it up. It's on the internet. Has to be true. Richard Riakapur and Madonna. Yeah, she's sitting on his lap, bro.
Dan, what do you do for a living again?
I don't even know anymore.
Boxing, right?
Twitter.
It's boxing, right?
Who is Madonna Rubin's new boyfriend? Richard Riakapur.
What year was that? Is that right now?
Last year.
Yeah, she dated a boxer over here.
They are laid up together. She's sitting on his lap. She has ginormous glass sunglasses on to cover up her saw face. Good for you.
Good for you.
Get what you can, Richard. He's on this card. This is all about the main event. Over on Top Rank's Fast Channels, which is actually kind of cool. If you have Tubi, if you have download Tubi.
I do have Tubi.
It's super easy. And Top Rank obviously doesn't have a home yet. I don't know when they will. But Rafael Espinoza is fighting Arnold Kagai. Lindolfo Delgado is fighting on this card. Emiliano Vargas is fighting on this card. and Richard Torres is fighting on this card. And it's all going down on Top Rank's Fast Channel. If you don't know what that is, download Tubi to your smart TV and literally type in Top Rank and you're boom, it's free.
Also, Tubi has the best super bad 80s movies. So check it out. Tubi is great.
They also have like a classic boxing channel. I know they were playing a lot of old HBO fights. Like, it's crystal clear. I swear we Tubi's don't work great. For Tubi. But,
Tubi's great. We should. Or Tubi should sponsor us.
You never know.
I love Tubi. I've been watching Tubi for a long time.
Yeah, the main event is Rafael Espinoza, who's one of the best featherweights in the world.
That's a really solid card, Dan. Like, very top good. To bottom.
Top Rank is like,
I want to see every one of those. It's still Top Rank.
Top Rank is like still putting together good fights, and but they don't have a home. But they're, you know, they're putting this one on the Fast Channels. They got Barao and Zayas, which got introduced today in Puerto Rico. I don't know where that's going to land. It could potentially be on Top Rank's new home because it's still like almost 2 months away. They had Michaela Mayer fight in about. They have
that's
they,
right.
They're putting their talent, spread their talent out. They're still working our guys over there at Top Rank.
We also had Delonte Tiger Johnson put on an incredible performance on a Pro Box TV card. So huge, yes, the talent is getting out there. So good on Top Rank for staying true to what works and putting on good fights with their excellent class of fighters.
You think Top Rank's like, hey, like this? Maybe we don't need a platform. You just be this.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Speaking out of my ass. I don't know.
Yes. What else? What else is new, Dan? What else is
shooting from the hip? He's fighting Arnold Kagai, who 2 fights ago lost a decision to Joette Gonzalez
on a Pro Box card in Thunder Studios.
So
California.
Tell us about this guy,
Arnold Kagai.
Yeah.
I've called several of his fights. He's a warrior. He fights. He is good. He's a really solid guy. He's one of those guys. I don't think he does anything great, but he's pretty good at everything. Very, very solid. He's kind of like a Joette Gonzalez. And it was like they met and it's kind of a fight where you expected Kagai to win because of his high ranking and having a better record. But Joette Gonzalez just brought it that night. It was finally his time. Because he's one of those guys who just can't get over the hump. He can't get those big wins. He got that win, which got him another title fight, in which he lost to Figueroa. But thought he won that one, too. But, yeah, Kagai, super, super tough. Don't know how much is left in the tank because it looks like Joette took a lot out of him because Joette takes a lot out of everybody. He's just a super rough guy who drags you. I expect Espinoza to do what Espinoza does and destroy him because Espinoza is such a monster. I think
why is
he's
absolutely taking this fight.
It's a big keep busy fight. It's a keep busy fight with a guy who
used
to have a
good career. Is a stay busy fight.
I mean,
I have
without a network, are you going to set up a massive fight? No, this is a keep busy until we find a network fight. He was probably demanding the fight, needed a fight. The Mexicans love to stay busy. And they're going to get numbers. So you put them at the top of the card. Doesn't matter who he fights.
It's in Mexico.
Yeah, of course. So whoever he fights, it doesn't matter. So Kagai is a guy who's still under Top Rank, probably is owed a fight, probably his last fight. It makes sense for a lot of reasons that, you know, no one on this one really wants to hear about.
I really want to see Espinosa in there with the top guys.
Yes.
Featherweight,
I mean,
is a great
badass
division,
class. Badass
but it's
class.
Like, what's going on with it? I know Leo is fighting on Pro Box February. Espinosa could fight him potentially in 2026. Espinosa could move up. Espinosa, I don't know. I have high hopes for him, but you know, this is a few now of, you know, Edward Vasquez wasn't the fight we wanted to see. Robesi Ramirez was.
Mm-hmm.
The two Robesi Ramirez wins. So since 2023, he's fought 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Two of them were Robesi. Yeah.
Two of them were Robesi. And he has all the makings of being a fun fighter. I'll still watch. We'll still tune in. We'll also see on this card, where is it? We're going to see Lindolfo Delgado. This is an IBF welterweight eliminator.
Very
he's
tough
fighting
40-pounder.
Yes. And there's a lot going on in that division. So we'll keep an eye on him. Richard Torres, who is banging the drum for Moses Atalma. Is
good
saying,
him,
I want
man.
Him.
That's awesome. Awesome. Badass. Badass move.
See, Atama's fighting Jermaine Franklin.
Good fight. Like that fight. I was calling for that fight. I said that was a logical next step many months ago.
Yeah, hopefully Franklin can give him rounds. And then I've been following this from a distance, but the Pulev Emmanuel Char, God, the only Dan Rayfield reports on, God bless his soul, Dan, reporting on this crap, the WBA. And that could be the next fight for.
Who cares? Why are you even talking?
Because there's some type of belt attached to it. I feel like Emmanuel Char.
WBA belts are ridiculous.
They are the most ridiculous.
They just
belts.
They make up belts all the time. Who cares?
The reason
they
I bring it up is because Atalma could go from Franklin to the winner of Char and Pulev. That's not a bad that's not a bad progression for Atalma. I know everyone wants to see him in there with Usyk or right to the top.
But Franklin, what is this belt? Pulev? We have a unified champion in Usyk. What the hell are we doing? What are we talking
secondary
about?
Secondary WBA belt, bro. Come on.
What the hell does that mean? What is a secondary championship belt? We have four organizations, four belts. We don't need secondary belts of each. We're gonna have eight belts now.
I tweeted this out last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I told you about it. my buddy's dad. He's like, hey man, I'm looking to get into boxing again. I see everything you're doing, and I'd like to keep up. And I thought, oh, that's really nice, man. He writes back. He goes, hey, what's a regular champion, interim champion? And I was like embarrassed.
It is embarrassing. It's like you might as well just tell that guy to not watch a sport. Like if once you ask that and then you have to explain it, you're like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for you. Go watch.
Respectfully, just continue watching baseball and football. No, I told him what it was, and he was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, yeah, you know, it's politics. But according to the WBA grants Pulev permit for heavy regular defense against Gassayev. Oh, I was wrong here. With conditions, Atalma still the mandatory shall fight the winner. Or if Pulev fights to a draw, Atalma's. This is so much to.
Oh, this is too much. I'm not even listening. So let's.
Okay, Atalma wins. He could potentially either fight Pulev or Gassayev. I like either one.
I like those fights. I don't care what the hell it's for. I don't care what trinket belt it could possibly be for, but I like those fights.
I tell you what, I don't really like. They're moving Atalma just like he's a top heavyweight guy. They're not moving him like a Mike Tyson, 10 fights in 1 year.
No, no. Which
I think they should move him more like the Tyson route. Have him fight.
That would be a lot more fun.
Like have him just beat the shit out of it. Like remove the just every like Tyson. Like lift guys off their feet. Like give us like a ESPN classic. Highlight
that's
real
a dangerous
knockouts.
Way to move a guy, though, because Tyson was a big amateur. Tyson was like a national level amateur. This guy's not that. We don't know that enough about him, and I think the people that are building him understand that.
Yeah, I'm just it's just the current nature of the game is that they're not going to do that. It's just way different now. You can why do that if you don't have to? You can have put him in big time fights, 13, 14 fights into his career because of the networks, how many streaming services there are out there. Yeah, so that's also this weekend. And then Emiliano Vargas, who I think I have very high hopes for, and I know you do as well. So it's a pretty decent weekend. We're getting into the thick of it. We have this weekend. The next weekend is Ring 4 from Saudi with Norman and Haney and Benavidez and Abdullah and Bam. And then all of a sudden we're into December and the triple header, Jake and Joshua. Inoue is fighting at the end of December. Smooth sailing ahead, Chris.
Finally. After a rough and bumpy year.
It is time to say goodbye. I hope you protect yourselves at all times. I hope you have fun. I hope you protect yourselves. Stay out of the DMs and all
sure, that. You don't want to talk about Manuel Char anymore?
No, we're done with Manuel Char. No more. End the show. Good night.
Bye. Good night, everybody.